If you would now, if you have a copy of God's Word, I'm going to read our preaching text for the evening from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and then also verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And down to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, Merry Christmas. We're honored that you would spend an hour with us this evening, so thank you for being here. Would you pray with me as we look at God's Word? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this season. It is a busy season with lots of activities, lots of families in town and friends and lots of parties and all the rest, which we are so very thankful for. We're thankful for these gifts of grace you've given us, Lord, by your kindness to us. And yet, Lord, we pause this evening just for a few moments to reflect on the glory of Christmas and the glory of why this season is so special, and that is the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So fill us tonight, we pray, with His glory, and may our sight by faith be one of great clarity and of great cherishing of this great Savior. In Christ's name, amen. Well, the title of this message is Hard to Believe, isn't it? The darkness does not win. Doesn't it seem like every week we hear about wars and poverty, terrorism and mass shootings, high crime and high taxes? We can look back on this past year, maybe some of us, perhaps more than others, and think of loved ones who have died, friends who have suffered with cancer, and others who are struck with a depression that will not lift or chronic pain that will not cease. It's not as if Christmas season stops life, in other words. In a big way, it does not. What's even more unsettling, at least for me, as I think about Christmas and the next year, is the unknowns of next year. What's going to happen in 2026? I don't know, and perhaps that might be a little unsettling for you this evening as well. It's hard, in other words, not to be discouraged these days, in some respect. And yet, the title is true. The darkness does not win. Christmas is real. Christ is King, and He's a great Savior. The message of John 1, the message of Christmas, is profoundly and happily true. Christ is victorious, and light shines wherever there is darkness. To illustrate this truth, I think there's a scene in the movie The Two Towers. Maybe hopefully you've seen that movie, or at least read the book. Chuck is smiling. Good. It's the second film of the Lord of the Rings trilogy. When Frodo and Sam are about to give up, I think for the fourth time, perhaps. And Frodo says, he leans back and he says, "I can't do this, Sam." And Sam has a long, extended answer. He says, "I know." And now at this point, the music starts to play. And "It's all wrong," Sam says. "By rights, we shouldn't even be here. But we are," he says. "It's like in the great stories, Mr. Frodo. You know, the ones that really mattered. Full of darkness and danger they were," Sam says. "And sometimes you didn't know what to expect in the end. How could the end be happy?
How could the world go back to the way it was when so much bad has happened? And Sam says, but in the end, it's only a passing shadow. Even darkness must pass. A new day will come, Sam says. And when the sun shines, it'll shine out all the clearer, he says. Those were the stories that stayed with you. That meant something, even if you were too small to understand why. And that's so true. But I think, Sam says, Mr. Frodo, I do understand. I know now. Folk in those stories had lots of chances of turning back, only they didn't. They kept going because they were holding on to something. Frodo responds, what are we holding on to, Sam? And Sam says, that there's some good in this world, Mr. Frodo, and it's worth fighting for, end quote. Well, friends, the good in this world, it's not a ring to rule them all. That's not what you and I can give to the world. The good in this world is what God can give, and give he did. He gave the most glorious Savior in all the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we know to be the light of the world, and he really is the only reason why the darkness does not win. He alone. So I just want to have 2 points I just want to quickly bring out from John chapter 1 along this theme of the darkness not winning. Number one is the light overcomes. Look at verse 1. It's in your liturgy if you don't have your Bible. The light overcomes. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning, beloved. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. If you're familiar with the Gospel of John, the concept of light has several layers or shades. Maybe that's a better word. Various shades. Light can refer to Christ himself in the Gospel of John, John 8:12. I am the light of the world, he says. It can refer to the eternal and abundant life found only in Jesus, as in verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So when you step into the light of Christ by his grace and grace alone, Christ gives you light beyond measure, but he also gives you this abundant eternal life found only in him. And lastly, light in John's gospel can refer to obeying God's will. John 3:20, everyone who does wicked things hates the light. So there's several shades or layers to light in John's gospel. However, in verse 5, if you just want to look at that just for a moment, John uses the term light in the more general sense. He says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I read that saying this, that everything that is light, so Jesus and faith and forgiveness and abundant joy and perpetual peace and everlasting life, all that being light, okay, John says, has been, is, and will be victorious over everything that is darkness, sin and suffering, death and misery, unbelief and pride. And that's what John is saying Christmas is about, in a sense, at least first. Everything that is light, beloved, Everything that revolves around the gospel and the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ shines and overcomes the darkness. It is not overcome by the darkness. It pierces it. I love being a Christian, don't you? There's so much hope in Christ. Just outside my bedroom stands a streetlight in perfect height with my bedroom window. And if my curtains are not drawn exactly right, that streetlight, and now Christmas lights, will shine right into my bedroom and right onto my pillow. No matter how dark the night is, the light pierces that darkness. In fact, the darker the night, the brighter that street light shines. At least so it seems. Well, John says, and Jesus says, and the scriptures teach, beloved, that if you belong to Jesus, you cannot be overcome by darkness. Not sin, not suffering, not misery. It cannot win. No matter how dark Jesus and his church shine. In fact, the darker the night, and isn't this so true sometimes in your own life, even the darkest night, there's still some light that shines all the brighter in times of suffering and sorrow. I don't know how it comes in, but Christ, by his grace, places it in our hearts, and there is a spring of joy that can happen, not all the time, but sometimes it's there. Now, I realize that that may sound a little pie in the sky-ish. Is that the right term? Pollyannish, maybe? Is that the right term? Especially if you're here tonight and this year has been incredibly dark. Lostness, maybe, misery, hardship, difficulty. So what I'm saying tonight, at least right now, what I hope you see tonight, or what I really hope you trust in, is that God has given a light, a profound and wonderful light in the Lord Jesus Christ. And though Jesus may not remove all the darkness you have, and he doesn't, Jesus will not allow the darkness to overcome you. He won't allow it to win. He's king. He won't allow that darkness to encase you and to be king over your life. In the words of Samwise, Jesus will cause your darkness to be a passing shadow. Tolkien got that from the Bible, by the way, where suffering and darkness is described as a light and momentary affliction. 2 Corinthians 4:17. And what's more, in your darkness, Jesus can shine all the clearer. Now, fair enough. Admittedly, if that's all we say about Christ and the Christmas story, we may not be getting at the heart of Christmas. Because at the heart of Christmas is not simply that light overcomes darkness, though profoundly and happily true. I'm so thankful for that. At the heart of Christmas is the fact that in order to overcome darkness, the light of the world did not stand by or above the darkness. He actually entered into the darkness of this world and the darkness of our misery and sin and became man. That's the heart of Christmas. So secondly, the word dwells. Light overcomes. And secondly and lastly, the word dwells. Look at verse 14. This is how John puts it. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Many Christians have commented on this verse, calling it the mystery of all mysteries. They're exactly right. John is saying that God, the eternal Son, the second person of the Trinity, came to us in flesh, came to us wearing our clothing, as it will, humanity.
So God, if you can believe this, beloved, was born into the very world he created. Such wonder. God was held by the very hands he made. God slept under the very stars he decorated. That's the heart of Christmas. That the good in this world, capital G, sorry, Samwise, that the good in this world dwelt among us in grace. That we did not, by our goodness, raise to God in the heavens by our merit, but that God, by his grace, came to us in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the rest of the story goes, that good, capital G, in this world died and rose in power. That's the heart of Christmas. Has really nothing to do with my street light. Author and pastor Kevin DeYoung put it like this: why can we be confident that the darkness will not win? Well, it's not because of grandma's cooking or a familiar Christmas movie, though those things are awesome. It's not because dreams come true when we believe, no matter what we actually believe. Our confidence is rooted in history. Our faith is based on fact. What we celebrate this season is not the triumph, I love this, is not the triumph of the human spirit or the importance of family or the power of positive thinking. That's not what Christianity is about. That's not what Christmas is about. What this celebration is tonight is us worshiping a baby born in a bloody mess in a manger in Bethlehem. That's what tonight's about. That's what Christmas is all about. So, beloved, I hope you love being a Christian. I do. I hope you love living with the confidence that the Christmas story is true, whether you believe it or not. It's absolutely true. The baby, the star, the shepherds, every single bit of it. The frankincense, the gifts, the virgin, the cross, the resurrection. It's all true. Our hope lies in the person of work of Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And now he ascends to glory and reigns over all things. Your life, my life, this world, all the darkness, and it will never win. Christ wins now and forever. So let me draw this to a conclusion. John says in verse 14, "And we have seen his glory. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory." John looks back on his life, those years that he walked with the Lord, and he says to us tonight, there was a glory to Jesus. There was a peculiar dignity, a peculiar worth to Jesus. There was value, there was glory, John says, about this Savior. Oh, he was so marvelous, John says. We have seen his glory. There was a glory to Jesus that allowed the disciples to see God in the flesh and not die, but live. My question to you this evening, have you seen his glory? Have you seen his glory? I promise you, once you lay your eyes of faith on Jesus, I think you'll find him to be the most glorious person you'll ever know. The most exquisite, marvelous, worthy person you'll ever meet in your life. I think you'll find his heart large enough for any pain you have. I think you'll find his arms strong enough for any fear. And I think you'll find his cross sufficient enough for any sin. Christmas is all about seeing the glory of Jesus Christ
by faith in the gospel. Have you seen him? Not, I used to go to church as a kid and did this or that. No, that's not my question. Do you see him tonight by faith? Is he your all in all? Not if you go to church and not if you did this or that. That's not my question. Do you know Christ by faith? Have you seen his glory? He is the most wonderful person you'll ever meet in your life. Let's pray. Well, our great God, we thank you again for this wonderful evening, and we thank you most importantly for this great Savior who came for us in grace, born just like we were, in some ways at least, lived and died and rose from the grave. All our hope is in him. He is King forever. God, thank you for the gospel and for Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.